want to hear something funny? Do you want to start out the day with a little joke? I have a joke for you. And Revelation 5:8. You didn't know Revelation 5:8 was funny. Well, the passage isn't funny, but what people do with it or don't do with it is funny. Now that I'm teaching you to fish, that's what I'm doing. I'm teaching you to fish. I'm giving you rules to follow, and you can go through the whole book of Revelation before I get there, and all of a sudden you're going to see these things that you never saw before. And you're going to realize not to explain God's explanations, and that God's explanations of what John is seeing are literal. Revelation 5:8. And when it took the scroll, the lambkin, I guess. Yeah, the four animals and the 24 elders fall before the lambkin. I'm going to explain to you why lambkin is used. It's the diminutive form of lamb. It's a baby lamb. Sorry. No, that's a horse. I forget it. And each having a lyre and a golden bowls brimming with incense. Golden bowls brimming with incense. Incenses, sorry, plural. Golden bowls brimming with incenses. I'm in Revelation 5:8. Each having a lyre and golden bowls brimming with incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. There you go. The golden bowls are the prayers of the saints. Why don't you hear these geniuses explain to us what the prayers of the saints are? Well, Martin knows, obviously that's literal. Well, it is obvious there. But to me, in my advanced geniushood, it's just as obvious everywhere else God says this is that. When God says this is that, that is literal. It's obvious there, the prayers of the saints. What's your interpretation of the prayers of the saints? I don't have one. I don't interpret God's interpretations. Let's go to another passage here. Since this is so much fun, I think let's go to Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Now, I don't have my cigar today because it's the only cigar I got, and I'm about to burn my beard off. I don't want to do that on YouTube, although that would be the most views I ever got. I really should do that. I really should burn my beard because I think I would get lots of views for that, and then people would be aware of this Revelation series. Man's beard catches fire as he smokes a cigar while explaining the book of Revelation. That would be awesome. I'm going to seriously consider it now. Just because of the shock factor. And I got to, wait, would Apostle Paul do that to get the truth out? Yeah, I think he would. Sounds a little sensational, but why not? Where did I say I was going? Hang on. I'm on the edge, like always, folks, here. I'm always on the edge. 16, 13, and 14. Revelation 16. I love this because it talks about frogs. Revelation 16, 13. And 14. Let's start with 12. Revelation 16:12. In the year 16:12. No. And the sixth messenger pours out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. I wonder what God means by the great river Euphrates. He means the river Euphrates. It's there on your map. Have you checked? Look in the Middle East. See, there's a river Euphrates. It's the area of ancient Mesopotamia. That's where Adam and Eve lived. The Tigris and the Euphrates River, and its waters dried up, that the road of the kings from the Orient may be made ready. I wonder what that means. And I perceived out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the wild beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits, as if frogs. As if frogs. That's kind of a pig, but you know what I'm getting at. For they are spirits of demons doing signs. John saw the spirit. This is what you got to feel sorry for John. He's actually seeing these things. So he's seeing these things that look like frogs. That's the only explanation he had. They were as frogs. They were amphibian-like. And so it could be that these spiritual beings have these look like creepy things. I don't doubt that. But that wasn't the point. The point was that these things coming out of the mouth of the dragon and of the wild beast and of the false prophet, three unclean spirits as if frogs, for they are spirits of demons doing signs. They're spirits of demons. That's the explanation, and so that's what they are. I'm not going to smoke a cigar on that. That's been played. They're demons, evil spirits. And if you think they need explained, they don't. That's what they are, and they're operating today. Very serious. Now, I meant to tell you something here, is that once in a while, it works the other way around. In other words, once in a while, a thing that is literal, follow me now, is represented by a figure. In other words, the literal thing comes first, and then a figure is presented. Here's a good example of that. Well, one example would be the common metaphor. The common metaphor takes things that are literal. This literal bread is my literal body, and has a figurative way to see it, which is found in the word is. How is it that your body could be compared to that bread? You see what I'm saying? So this is what's happening with the two witnesses. Oh, I should tell you this. Of course, I hope you know the difference between a metaphor and a simile. A simile says something is like another thing. Very simple. And we saw that earlier this week. A metaphor says it is a certain thing, and that's a more bold statement. It's more forceful, and that's the purpose. The writer here, John, and any writer who employs a metaphor is being forceful, saying this is that. Wow, that puts you right up against it. To take that literally is a mistake. It's a metaphor. So example of a simile would be all flesh is as grass. And we saw the word as used a lot in Revelation chapter 2. This is as that. His hair was as wool. It was as his feet were as burnished, as white bronze. Likewise bronze. That's a simile. But if you were to say, like, all flesh is as grass or like grass, fine. Thanks for the simile. But if you say all flesh is grass, that's a metaphor. It's harder. So the two witnesses are undoubtedly literal men, the two witnesses. But they are described as the two olive trees and the two lamps. So these are apt figures. So you try to figure, they're called, these witnesses are two olive trees. Though they are? I didn't know that men could be olive trees. So some people, taking this literally, will look for walking olive trees. But they're like olive trees. The olive in Israel was crushed to make the anointing oil. And so it's a figure of the Spirit. These are Spirit-filled men, the two witnesses, but they are literal as can be. So if you try to figure out what the two witnesses are, they're two witnesses. Now we can conjecture about who the two witnesses will be. Sorry, I get excited, I get too close to the mic. Who they could be. I think it's going to be Dan Rowan and Dick Martin. Some people think Abbott and Costello, or Lennon and McCartney, or... Joan Jett and somebody. We can talk about that later, and we will. So sometimes that happens, and they're called two lamps. What does that mean? Of course, the light of the Lord, the lampstand, talks about light. So you can we can conjecture about what the figure means. For instance, the seven Ecclesiastes, seven lampstands. We could ask ourselves, and we will, why are lampstands used to represent? Why not use popsicle sticks? Or Milky Way bars, or cannonballs. I would have liked to have seen that. These seven cannonballs, which you see, these seven cannonballs are seven ecclesias. But no, lampstands are used because they're that's the illumination, the light of the Lord. So, a little help for you there. So we're going to go to one other place here, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to do another week on literal or figurative. I know, yeah, but you know we're in it, so forget about it. Forget this thing where I'm going to start one day. I've already started. It's way underway. There's another fun passage here, and this is an interesting one. And I'm teaching you to fish. I'm handing you fish, but you're also learning principles to use when you read the scripture yourself, which I encourage you to do. But you don't have to. But I'm here to help you. Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Thus saith the Lord. 17, 9 and 10. Here is the mind which has wisdom. I love that because, first of all, here's the mind which has wisdom. Now, when our spiritualizing friends, or Pentecostals, preterists, whatever you want to call them, the people who have interpretations, secret ones, they love, here's the word of wisdom, and they think it's private interpretation, but it's not. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The mind which has wisdom understands figures of speech. The mind which has wisdom understands the metaphor and the simile. The seven heads, John saw that earlier. We're going to talk about this in detail when we get here. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman is sitting, and the woman is a figure also. She is sitting on them, and they are seven kings. All right, so when you see the word are coming up or is, then that's the literal interpretation. So here we have a, if you say a triple metaphor, is that the seven heads are seven mountains, which are seven kings. The last thing in the list is the literal thing. So for some reason, John, or the Holy Spirit through John, wants to engage our thinking by relating these kings to two things instead of one thing. Like the ecclesias were seven lampstands, so illumination. The two witnesses, olive trees, spirit being crushed maybe, you know, like the olive was. And they will be crushed. They'll be killed in the street. But the literal ends up being the last thing, and they are seven kings. So the seven heads and the seven mountains are seven kings. There's no need then, as you know, I think you know by now, but I'm saying it, there's no need to wonder what God means by seven kings. And anybody who says that there will not be seven kings in the end times, in this day of the Lord that we are coming up on, John was 2,000 years behind it. He went into it. We're coming into it now, literally in time. He went in spirit. We're coming to it the slow way, actually in time. Anyone who says that these seven kings must be now interpreted, that's where they are screwing you over terribly. Because again, there is no end to that. In the day of the Lord, there will be seven ecclesias in Asia Minor. Likewise, there are going to be seven kings. Not kingdoms, but kings. The heads and horns, therefore, are figurative, while the kings are literal. The mountain is figurative. This is a quote from the book. It is evident from this that in those days that there will be a reaction, and kings will again find their place in the politics of this world. And I don't care how outrageous something seems, like Babylon. I don't care how outrageous it looks that Babylon will be rebuilt. I don't care how unlikely it seems. I don't care that we just can't figure out how God's going to do that. How's he going to dry up that river so that the kings of the east can come across? It doesn't matter. Now you're getting smartass about it. You're questioning what God says. Well, we don't see how Babylon could be rebuilt. Therefore, Babylon must be New York City. Or Babylon must be, you know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin. No, Babylon is Babylon. Seven kings are seven kings. The mountains are kings. Babylon is Babylon. The lampstands are ecclesias. The stars are spirits. The frogs that John saw, poor him, he had to see those ugly frogs. They are seven demons that will influence the population of the world in the end times. That's enough for me for 1 week. I'm going to retire for 2 days, and I will see you back here on Monday.